What have y'all been doing during the quarantine? Has anybody been watching Netflix or watching TV? Okay. Has anybody been doing more gardening maybe than you did before? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody doing any baking or anything while this is going on? Okay. Not a lot of you, but in our house, we've been baking. And here's what I've learned about making cookies and making some things. If you don't have the right ingredients, it doesn't always turn out like you think it should, right? Did you know salt looks an awful lot like sugar? Did you know that? I'm not going to say how I know, but salt looks an awful lot like sugar. But if you mess up and use the wrong thing, the wrong ingredient, the wrong whatever in your recipe, the recipe is set up for disaster. Disaster, right? We're in a series called Changing Our Perspective. And the idea is that if we have the mind of Christ, then we will act like Jesus. If we have the mind of the world and we think and we do what culture tells us and things like that, then what's going to happen is we do not have the mind of Christ. And we will do things and we will continue to fall and fail and we miss on the ingredients. So today I want to talk about some of those ingredients that Paul is sharing with us in the book of Philippians. And we're in chapter 2. And I want to give you some information about this. In chapter 2, there are 16 references to think, to remember, or our attitude. Okay, so there are some certain things in here he wants us to understand. So I'll give you a minute to open up your Bibles. And those of you that don't have a Bible, we have plenty of Bibles. We'll give them to you. You can keep them. They're buried in those chairs over there. Just walk over there and unbury them, I guess. Philippians, I'm going to start chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. It says this, so if there is any encouragement, listen to this, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from joy, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full accord and of one mind. Okay, so he's saying a couple things here, Paul is saying. He's saying if there is any encouragement in Christ, the church should be a place that is encouraging. In fact, Brenda just said when I said, yeah, she's judging me, she goes, no, I'm encouraging you. The church should be a place of encouragement. We should come alongside our brothers and sisters and encourage them. This encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love. We talk about love God first, but then love others, right? We have a true love for each other so that we can comfort them. Not sit back and say, boy, I'm glad they're finally getting theirs. You know, that's not how the church responds. The church responds comfort from love. Participation in the Spirit, another word for participation, the Greek actually translates to fellowship. And as the body of Christ, that's what we do. We fellowship. We were told, okay, you can't meet as a church. You can't go out to work. You can't do these things. You have to stay home. How did you feel when you couldn't connect with people that you loved? It left a hole, right? Fellowship. We are made. God, when he created us, said it is not good for man to be alone. We are community people. And so we need and thrive in fellowship. And participation in the Spirit, that's fellowship. Affection and sympathy, again, the words could be translated as tenderness and compassion. Then Paul says this, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So he wants us to think what? On the same page. If we have encouragement, if we're people that encourage, if we are people that are supposed to comfort, if we are people that are built for fellowship, if we have tenderness and compassion for each other, then we should have the same mind, the same love, and one mind. And what is the one mind? Is it yours? Is it mine? Is it Chuck's? Is it anybody's? No, it is the mind of Christ. And we're going to see that. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us in some of his other letters, the Bible says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. Have one mind. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. Have one mind. Take every thought captive, right? Have one mind. Whatever is noble, pure, right, lovely, and admirable, think on these things. have one mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So have one mind, the same love, the same mind. So let's go on. So you see where Paul's talking about so far. He's saying, if there's anything that you're supposed to be as the fellowship, then let's make my joy complete. He's saying his. Make my joy complete because he's in prison. He's saying, make my joy complete by having the same mind. Be on the same page. Have the same mission. So let's go on. Verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Love God first. That's our same mind. That's our same love. That's our same joy. It's God. God. We have the mind of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit in us working as we are being transformed into the very image of Christ himself. We become his image bearer here. He says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your interest, but to the interest of others. Love God, then what? Love others. And then I put this up. Go ahead and put the next screen up, Tony. J-O-Y. What does that say? Joy. Actually, with the periods, it doesn't really say joy, but it does. Think joy. All in caps. Jesus. Think Jesus first. What are you going to think next? Others. And then what? Yourself. Jesus first, others, then yourself. Don't think, if you want the same mind of God, don't think, okay, how is this going to benefit me? What do I get out of this? Because then you're putting the Y before the J and the O. And you, Joe, doesn't spell anything. Okay? Joy should be God first. Joy. Others. It should be others. Think of others, Paul says. Think of others as more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to your interests, take care of yourself, but also look at the interest of others. Are there people in your neighborhood that are hurting? Are there people in your family that are going through a tough time? Are there people in your church family that you know are struggling with something? Then we need to care. We need to be have fellowship. We need to have tenderness and compassion. We need to have comfort. We need to have love. So where does all this come from? Paul starts off. Well, he goes into this. He starts to describe who Jesus is. And the first thing he tells us about Jesus is God. Now that's a dividing line for some churches. Some churches or denominations will tell you, well, Jesus really ain't God, you know. Who was he praying to in the garden? And if he was he's praying to the Father. Jesus is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Something we don't understand. But I'll tell you what, if you put your life with Christ and you die and you go to heaven, you can ask him all you want these theological questions. Okay? Wait till you get there, though. Okay, here's the thing. Here's why Paul says this, starting in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Okay, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God and was God. Then the Word became flesh. Here's what Paul says here. Have this mind among yourselves, which yours is in Christ Jesus, who though he was God in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Now that sounds like something like, okay, he just thought like, okay, since I need to understand, I want to suffer like man does, I want to be tempted like man is, I want to go through what they go through so that I can be a perfect sacrifice for them. We think, you know, oh, that's a nice word. Oh, hey, Jesus just emptied himself. No, the word grasped in the Greek means rape. It means to plunder. It means to seize. The word is harpazo. Harpazo. And it has a negative connotation. Do you know who grasped and wanted to be God? Satan. It says Satan wanted to be like God, and that's when God cast him out. What did the serpent in the garden tell Eve? If you eat this fruit, you will be what? Like God. Jesus, however, says, that's not something I want to grasp. That's not something I want to seize. That's not something I want to plunder. I want to empty myself and I want to come to the earth. That's the incarnation, God becoming man. And I know those words sometimes are big theological words, but I worked on my doctorate, so every once in a while I like to throw those words in there. Okay, the incarnation. He emptied himself. Isaiah says this, I am God and there is no other. Before me every knee will bow. Jesus is God. We know in Revelation there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He who sits on the white throne is Jesus. He is our judge. He is our advocate now. He is praying for us now to God the Father. Everything that was created was by him and for him and through him. Do you understand that? Because that's the first thing you got to get. If you don't get that Jesus was God, you're not going to get anything else. You don't see him as a savior. A man can't save you. God can save you. Jesus is our savior. Jesus is our savior. That's the first point. He is God. The second thing, he made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. Again, verse 8, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Being in human form, from God to nothing. Harpazo, that's not something to grasp. I'm doing my Father's will. He emptied himself to the point of death. Now, sometimes we get in an altruistic mood and we say, like, I want to help this person. And we may give a little bit of our money, but we always give out of our excess. I don't have a lot of money, so I'll tell you what, I'll pray for you. You know? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't hold back anything. He gave everything he had. God didn't hold back. He gave everything he had. He goes, look, I love you so much, and I know you're turning away from me, you're doubting me, you're cursing me, you're using my name in vain, you're living like the world, but I love you so much, I am going to send my son to die for you. And Jesus became nothing. He emptied himself. And if we are to have that same mind, we have to maybe get off of our, I guess my mom used to call this, get off of your high horse, Paul. I don't even know what that meant, because we never had any horses. But get off your high horse. In other words, humble yourself. You know, how many times have we thought like, oh, they'll never be able to do that job if I'm not there? Anybody? Is it just me? Oh, okay. All right. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, they'll never be able to get by without me. Oh, they're not going to be able to survive if I don't show them how. Oh, they'll never get this right, you know, because they don't do it the same way that you do it. God has given us all talents and gifts and experiences for us to plug in. But Jesus humbled himself. But thank you, Steve. The third thing, that's what happens when you fall asleep back there and hit the thing. I'm just kidding. Woo. Did y'all hear that on TV? My hair just went woof. Third thing, he's God. He humbled himself and he was exalted. He died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. He even told Pilate, he says, you can't do anything to me that hasn't already been placed in your hands. Going on, reading verses 9 through 11, it says this, therefore God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed on him, that's Jesus, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of who? Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven. That's all of the angels and everybody bowing in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted. So what does this mean for us today? What is the point Paul trying to make for us today? Well, the first thing is we have to recognize that Jesus is God. You've got to realize that Jesus is the one, the only one who can save. He's the only one that could sanctify. He's the only one that justifies. He's it. And so we have to have Jesus. Recognize that Jesus is God. The second thing that we should learn from this is we should choose to serve. To have the same mind of Christ. What did Jesus say to his disciples? If you want to be great, you have to become a servant. To serve. You know, there's the old saying that it's more blessed to give than receive. That's true, isn't it? Haven't you ever somehow blessed somebody, you've given somebody something, and you see the joy and the excitement on their face, and you think in your heart, like, man, that is awesome. There are many times, and I've shared this with you, I've gone on missionary or mission trips and things, and it's like, well, Paul, we want you to preach. Paul, we want you to teach. Paul, we want you to sing. Paul, we want you to dance, you know, do whatever. We want you to do these things. And you think like, okay, you know, hey, it's about me. No, it's not about you. I come home more blessed. Yes, I preached. Yes, I sang. Yes, I taught. Yes, I prayed. Yes, I laid hands on. Yes, I did all of the things you were supposed to do. But watching their hearts, watching their faces filled with the Spirit, watching lives change, it does something to you. Because it's not you that's doing it. It's Jesus in you. It's the Spirit doing something in them. Recognize that Jesus is God. Choose to serve. And then three, I think we should learn this. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Jesus even tells us that. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. If you exalt yourself, guess what? You won't be humbled. You will be fallen and kicked around and everything else. People even talk about that in business. It's like, always be nice as you're climbing that corporate ladder. So as they're passing you on your way back down, they'll remember the good things that you did. Humble yourself. Become that servant. Don't seek any glory or fame or anything. You know, just humble yourself and do what God is telling you to do. The first step in humbling ourselves is to fall before God and open ourselves up in prayer and say, God, use me. Use me. And then the fourth thing, you have to put faith into action. I wrote that kind of weird. Put into action our faith. Put your faith into action. That's what I meant to say. Obey. Use intensity. Have energy. What is God telling you to do? Look at verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, struggle with this. Be obedient to what God is telling you, but be intensely about it. Be intensive. Be intense about it. Don't just say like, okay, it's just one foot in front of the other. I guess I'll go do this. How many of you have ever been invited to something and when you put it on your calendar months or weeks out, it looks like it's going to be great, and then that day you're trying to think of every excuse you can not to go? Anybody? All right, now how many of you end up going and found out you had a great time? Yeah. See, we have things in our lives that's going to tell us, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, why do you want to do that? Just stay home. Just don't do anything. Blah, 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 blah. We have to quit listening to ourselves, and we have to start talking to ourselves, and we talk to ourselves by putting in the same mind, the same love, the one mind, and that is the mind of Christ. Capture those thoughts and do what you're supposed to do. Put your faith into action. That's what James says. Show me your faith without works, you know, and it's dead. I mean, if there's fruit not being born in your life, we saw what Jesus did to the fig tree. How could Paul say in this chapter here, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? And he says, considering everything is a loss compared to knowing Christ. How does he say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How could Paul say things like that? It's because his joy wasn't based on what happened to him. I mean, he was in prison, right? His joy was based on what God was doing through him. For us, that means our joy, my joy, is not based on the situations that happen to me. Sure, that can make me unhappy, but it doesn't steal my joy. But what brings me joy is what God is doing in me and what God is doing through me. Having the mind of Christ. And then Paul ends he doesn't end the chapter here, but I'm going to end it here. Verse 17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Even if I'm to be killed, even if I'm to be martyred, even if things don't go the way that I think they should go, this is God working in me. And I'm going out sharing my fruit. I'm planting seeds. Because serving is not something I do. Serving is who I am. That's what the one mind, that's what we have to be. Serving is not something we do. Oh, I guess I could give you an hour. Serving is who we are. We're servants. Pleasing God isn't about self-promotion. Oh, look how good I am. God, you could never do this without me. But it's more about self-abandonment. God, I am nothing. Use me. And it's amazing the things that he can do using me if I just let him, if long as I don't get in the way. If we think like Jesus thinks, we will live like Jesus lived. Listen to that again. If we think like Jesus thinks, we will live like Jesus lived. Are you ready to become the church that he's called us to be? Are you ready to change your perspective and get it off of yourselves or off of the things that we can do, but put our thoughts and our minds and our love on what Christ can do in and through us? Are you ready for that? Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity just to dive into your word and to feed on the bread of life. And Father, we pray that as we leave this place today, our perspectives and our minds will be changed, more conformed to the image of Christ. And so, Father, we just pray that we would not be the same, that we would be different. Our hearts would be different as fruit is born in us. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to move in and amongst us. Father, we still pray for opportunities to be the church that you have called us to be, to speak truth and light and grace and mercy and love into this world that so desperately needs to hear it. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for all this, and we do this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.